Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly.
You're tuning in to the Jeff Calkins Show. Jeff is out today. This is Anthony Sane from Sports Illustrated's AllGrizzlies.com. I've got Brad Carson across the glass from me. Brad, what's going on, man?
Hello, Anthony Sane.
Man, I was here a couple weeks ago doing Jason and John's show.
Yeah.
I think I did a pretty good job.
You did a really good job.
I'm here.
You're back. You got the call, man.
I'm here 2 hours earlier, and it's not the same. I'm a little sleepier today than I was.
I think I am, too. I'm supposed to play this.
Today's special guest host is Anthony Sane from SI's All Grizz.
Yeah, that's what you were waiting for,
yeah,
right?
We're both trying to wake up, bro. But, yeah, we got a pretty good show today lined up, Brad. We got some guests coming in today. We got Jeff is going to come in with us in probably a few minutes. We've got Jason Smith is coming on at 9:30. And we've got Chris Harrington, of course, at 10. And we got a special guest today who's going to close out today. His name is Corey Parson. He is the gambling analyst for Sports Illustrated. I met him a couple weeks ago, and he's got some things that the Grizzly fans would like to hear regarding odds and what his take are on the odds as far as going into the bubble campus.
He believes in the Grizzlies.
He believes in the Grizzlies.
In 2 weeks, I think, middle of July, they're legalizing FanDuel and DraftKings in the state of Tennessee, where you can get on your phone in this state. Now, you can obviously get your bookie, but legally, in the next month, you're going to be able to, in Tennessee, bet on gaming. So this is, like, really a good guess.
Yeah, good time to have Corey on. Yeah. He's going to be on around 10:30.
Yep.
So looking forward to that. Also, just some interesting things that have been going on here lately. Yesterday, Mayor Strickland signed off a bill saying, we got to put these masks on, man. Me and you both came into the building with a mask on. We took them off as we got ready to talk. As we parted ways, we took our mask off. There have been fireworks all over the city, Brad.
What's going on with all the fireworks?
There have been fireworks every night.
Why is that happening?
Yeah, we go break down the fireworks. And also, Vince Carter retired. So we're going to make sure we talk about that throughout the show as well. But I think we got Jeff on hold. We're going to go ahead and bring Jeff Calkins in.
Yes, he is. It's Jeff Calkins now.
Jeff, what's going on, man?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Man, I'm good. Good to see you on the other. Good to have you on the other end of the phone, man.
So was it, Anthony? Was it bad form of me? Yes. So you and I have a legendary grudge.
Mm-hmm.
Goes way back. Beef. Wait, a beef? We have a beef, and it goes. We go way back, and I thought I was thrilled when Brad said that you were going to do the show, and I just thought it was time. I mean, this is one of the things that was destroyed by the damn virus. Yet another casualty was everything we were planning to do with this beef we had. Mm-hmm. But was it poor form of me to tell people the truth that we don't actually hate each other?
Yes, it was horrible form for you to tell everybody that we don't hate each other.
Really? But we couldn't sustain it. Like, it was destroyed by the damn virus.
Well, Jeff,
tell people what we were doing. Go ahead. Jeff, now that I've ruined it all, tell the people what we were doing.
You destroyed the whole world, basically. Since
Jeff does not watch wrestling, apparently.
Right. You destroyed the whole world pretty much since the COVID-19 pandemic has hit on your station, on your show. I didn't expect anything different than this. It's crazy because before I even knew I was guest hosting, I had talked to Kevin Cerrito about this very exact thing the day before. And I was like, bro,
you guys are good.
I said, man, it sucks that me and Jeff can't keep our thing going because of whatever. But I was like, how could we possibly bring it back? Because I said, well, if you talk to Tommy, you know, Tommy Jackson's the guy that's over 9-on-1 wrestling. So I said, if you talk to Tommy, he said, yeah, Tommy's trying to figure out ways to bring stuff back. And he was like, well, it's wrestling, man, so you can stretch it out as long as you want. You can, you know, pick it up wherever, you know, everybody understands.
Could we have really? I guess we could have. We could have at least. It didn't happen.
We could have at least did it for one more day. We could have did it for one more day, and then we could have figured it out for
me. This could have been hostile right
now.
Yeah,
we could have been talking crap to each other right now. But, yeah.
So what we were going to do is, like, for anyone who missed, if we were not going to wrestle, I'm not going to wrestle.
Imagine Calkins pulling the strap down.
I don't want to imagine
it.
He might not be able to get it back up.
Like Lawler strap.
And listen. The way this is going, maybe we'll have a real beef by the end. So
right.
Maybe we can get it going. But we were going to have designated wrestlers mm-hmm. on our behalf.
Right. We were going to be like managers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were going to be the managers. Mm-hmm. And it was going to, we were going to have some, you know, make sure there was some of this money was for charity. Mm-hmm. And I think people were buying it, too.
Yeah.
Like, I think.
A lot of people were buying
it. Yeah, it was good. So I'm sorry I've destroyed it. Yet another thing I've destroyed. In the context of this damn virus.
Because we had talked about different scenarios. Because I was talking to Cerrito and Tommy Jacks more than you were. But we were talking about scenarios where we would put things on the line. And one of the things we talked about is let Jeff have me on to guest host his show one day versus me and my Twitter account, where if I lose, I have to kill my Twitter account. And if I win, I get to be a guest host of your show. So it looks like I won anyway, because here I am sitting in your chair.
Dude. I didn't realize that Cerrito was in on this.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. You know, Kevin Cerrito's the like the announcer for 901 Wrestling. So yeah, the three of us were kind of figuring out how to make this work.
I mean, he's practically taking over my show too, and I was doing Cerrito trivia. We got you, like, whatever. This is why I'm being put out to pasture here, enough on vacation.
Exactly.
Good work.
Yeah, we did it. We did a good job to infiltrate your whole thing, man.
It was for charity. It was a good idea at the time. We had no idea a pandemic would destroy your bit, you know.
And speaking of no idea, Jeff, I don't know if I told you this or not. The first time we did it on radio, we talked about it on Jason and John's show, but we didn't tell Brad. And Brad thought it was real. And you could just see Brad sweating bullets on the other side.
I was concerned. I was really concerned. And part of it is, you know, I don't want anybody to, you know, have these. I want these relationships to be good.
Yeah.
You know?
Anthony was trashing me.
Yeah, you were going in hard, man.
And then when I saw he was open fire, I just started open fire back.
Yeah.
And it was, there's a woman named Julie Bardos who follows us listens. Thank you, Julie, for listening. I know her from her Twitter handle more than anything else. And she said it really bothered her because she likes both of us. And she just tried not to listen to the mean things we were saying about each other.
But you guys were sort of method actors, though, because I remember specifically a basketball game. I was at FedEx Forum, and for whatever reason, Jeff didn't get to go to lower deck. He was with us guys upstairs.
All year long, I've been in the upper deck.
Oh, okay. How about that?
Chris Harrington has taken my spot.
Oh, that's too bad.
So
you were up with normal folks like Anthony and myself, and you were even beefing there. And so as a manager, I was like, you know, it's one thing to do it on the radio as a bit when the cameras are on. But it's another thing in the Grizzlies game in the media room for there to be continued animosity.
We kept it going, man.
So yeah, you can't.
That's
where
the concern was from.
You have to keep it up, and otherwise people would know.
Yeah, man. I think we did a good job, too.
You did.
But Jeff, I've told you this before, probably in passing. I don't know if I told you formally, but, like, coming up, like, I didn't really know I wanted to do what I do now until I was well into my late 20s. You know, probably 30s before I really wanted to get into this. But, Jeff, when I was in my early 20s, I worked at the Foot Locker outlet on Lamar Avenue, which is a store that doesn't even exist anymore. I worked at that store, and I used to catch a bus from my house in Hickory Hill to that Foot Locker.
Oh, well.
And the bus didn't make it. It didn't go all the way down Lamar. So I would get off.
You had a connector.
Right, and I would have to walk.
Oh, geez.
And I would get off, and I would go to it was a McDonald's there at the time, and I think it's like a motel now. I think they flipped the McDonald's into a motel or something like that. I don't know. Don't ask me to explain it to you, but it looks like it's a motel.
Interesting place.
Yeah, it looks like it's one of those hourly motels or whatever.
Heard that.
So I was stopping at McDonald's. I'm going to make this make sense. I used to stop at McDonald's all the time, and they would have a free commercial appeal sitting there, you know, for you to read. This is archaic. We're talking about actually reading the paper. They'd have a free commercial appeal sitting there every day. And I come in, I take the paper. I come in and I read Jeff's column every day, and I go to work. That was just part of my daily routine. So when I started getting into actual blogging and journalism and things like that, I would say I want to be a black Jeff Calkins. That's what I want to be, because Jeff would kind of Jeff, you always found a way to kind of like ride people, like to make like to keep people on edge, where you had a mix of knowing what you're talking about, combined with saying things to get up under people's skin. And like ever since I started on Twitter, everything I do, I want to be a black Jeff Calkins.
That's a nice compliment.
I want to be the same thing.
Oh.
It's weird because when I came to Memphis, I was 35. Mm-hmm. And so it's weird that somehow I've become George Lapidus.
Oh, yeah. You're my George Lapidus, bro. 100.
And it is just weird. Like, it's weird how that works. Like, the old, I grew up, really? Like, I don't think of myself. I still think of myself as 35. But
you're not 35, Joe.
No.
That was that job as a columnist for the legacy paper, when it had the reach that it had, when, like you point out, like that's what people would, that sports section, it would be there at the McDonald's and people would read it throughout the course of the day or whatever. Like, and we had 250,000 subscribers. Jeez. And everyone read it. And like, that job was a privilege to have that job. Now it's the wild, wild west. And in some ways it's good because, so how did you, like, you created, and I mean this as a total compliment, mm-hmm. like you created yourself, right? Yeah. You know, by doing it. How did you, when you said you came late to want to do this, how did you even start?
All right, here's my story for all those who want to know my story of how I got into media. I was just a loud mouth on Facebook, bro. I was just like going like Grizz's Facebook groups, and I would like share my thoughts, and I run my mouth, and I make same stuff I do now, make memes, do stuff on Photoshop, be funny. And it just, I was always a Tiger basketball fan, of course. And Brooks Hansen, who did Memphis Roar at the time, it's 24/7, Tigers 24/7 now. I reached out to him because the Bluff City Classic was coming back. They had brought the Bluff City Classic back. And I reached out to Brooks telling him, I said, hey, I'm going to this. If you need anybody to do anything, just let me know. He was like, yeah, here's the password to our Twitter account. Like, go live tweet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, go live tweet or whatever.
Keys to the castle.
Right, he gave me the keys to the Corvette or whatever. Yeah. So that turned into blogging. I could always write because I would write, like, plays, skits, short stories, stuff like that. I was always a writer. And so I just kind of put the two together, and I started blogging for Brooks. And it just turned into more blogging opportunities. And that turned into Tri-State Defender. Then that turned into, you know, the Memphis Flyer. And now, you know, all Grizzlies with Sports Illustrated. So, yeah, man. And as far
where'd
as radio.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to Wooddale High School. Didn't go to college. I went to college for one semester.
At U of M for
U of
one
M.
semester or where?
U of M. I went to U of M for one semester.
And how was that?
It was not for me. That's why I'm here today.
but that's, I mean, that's the great part of what has happened is that people can now just with talent and energy can create, you know, can anyone can have a voice. And if it's a voice worthy of hearing, then people will listen, as opposed to once upon a time, you know, you had to go to college and then you right. had to work for a little paper covering high schools. And then you had to work for, you know, like that. You mm-hmm. Now it's great because there can all be all these people. And I mean, let's be honest, Bill Simmons, whatever you think of him now, mm-hmm. that's how he started. Like, he just like, I don't want to do this stuff. I want to just, you know, talk about the teams I care about. And he sort of created it. And now lots of people have done it. And it's cool. Like, your story's cool. What has happened? What were you doing? You were working at a Foot Locker in your 20s. What else did you do in your 20s?
Man, don't get me started. Every warehouse you can probably think of. What else? Man, I've done some of everything, man. In my 20s, I definitely did a lot of stuff. So I just knew it was something else better for me. I knew I didn't have a college degree, so I knew I could run my mouth. I knew I could talk. So I was like, man, I had to find a way to make it happen, bro, you know?
It's cool. It's cool.
But, yeah, as far as that whole thing goes, like another thing, Jeff, is like a lot of times when I was doing stuff, I didn't have an editor, you know what I mean? So I would say, okay, I'm not trying to buddy you up, bro, because, you know, it's stuff about you I don't like too. So, but yeah.
You've made that clear.
Yeah, but like I would always say when I was writing something, I would try to say, okay, what would Jeff Calkins say? Like I would kind of say it in my head, you know, what would Jeff say? And then I remember the first time I covered a Grizzlies game, it was me and you by ourselves. We were the last two people left in the media room writing our stories. And I said, just as a personal bucket list, I'm not going to leave out this room until Jeff leaves. So I want to make sure I work harder than Jeff Calkins that night. That was my goal. I wouldn't leave until Jeff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Grinding him. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, man. It is funny. Like, the first of all, what you realize about editors is, like, for me, the people who are even when you have editors, the people who are identified as your editors aren't necessarily the people. I don't mean this as any slam on any particular editors who are listening now. But like, I got my own editors. Like, if I really care about a story, like I show it to my buddy Charles, who's become a regular on this show now, or I Gordon Eads covered the Red Sox for a long time. Like, he helped me. There have been editors along the way, certainly a lot of the editors at the Commercial Appeal who helped me. But you sort of figure it out. And then the other thing I did, like, I literally used to, when I first got the column job at Memphis, I was totally intimidated. I'd only been a sports writer for 4 years. Ron Higgins, Mike DeCourcy, and David Williams all wanted the job, and I get the job, and they all hated me because I get the job. I had no idea what I was doing. I used to walk around with a collection of Mitch Albom columns in my backpack to read. Like, sometimes I'd read them before before a game or before I started writing, just to see how he did what he did, or how do you channel his voice a little bit, or whatever. It's honestly, it's not unlike basketball players who pick up moves from other people, and then in the end, it becomes their own game. And then, you know, but it's much, writing is much the same thing. You figure out what works for you, and you figure it out partly by watching other people. Like, right. That, I think that's how it works. I don't think that part of your story, I don't think is uncommon. I did the exact same thing. I had people I read, and I said, this is interesting. Like, how do they do this? Like, and what do I like and what do I don't like? And that part's very similar.
But that's 100% how I got started, man. Just reading other people's stuff and just kind of mimicking their tone and mimicking their message or whatever. Well, Jeff, on that same token, why are you trying to move the Grizzlies to Nashville? Can you tell us?
Let's be honest. that would kill me. Like, that would kill me. And I've been pretty clear because I said this yesterday. I hate the whole Grizzlies are moving thing. Mm-hmm. I have been fighting against it from before they got here, when literally people would say, don't bring them here because they'll just move. And so I hate it. I hate it. It to me, it's a perfect summary of what used to be Memphis's inferiority complex, to just assume that if you have a good thing, it can't last. Like why would we do that? That's crazy. And so it's why I was kind of reluctant to even write about this early termination clause. And when I did, I made sure I wrote a column saying, yo, this does not mean they're leaving. Now, might they leave in 27 or 29 or later this decade? They're going to have to reach a new lease. I was just looking at the Nashville lease for the Predators. They redid their lease. And, you know, when that time comes, you're going to have to pour big money into them and et cetera. But until then, till later this decade, I am just not worried about it at all, like zero. And it's the reluctance that I had, or the sort of pang I had in writing the story about the early termination clause, because you knew that the Eeyores out there were going to immediately think,
We're moving to Nashville.
And I never said that. Like, I not only said that, I've been saying the opposite for 20 years. It's crazy. But it does. They are on the hook. I mean, this is just true. The city and county are going to be on the hook for money, starting this year, and I think they'll work it out. I have no doubt that they'll work it out. But you know that's the bottom line here. It's just the city and county are going to be on the hook to make this right for the Grizzlies. But it doesn't mean that they're leaving. They're not. Don't you hate that?
I despise it, man. In barbershop talk, you hear it all the time, and it's just a ridiculous narrative. And I just wish that people would stop, you know, with the nonsense. The Grizzlies aren't going anywhere. If they are, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. To your point, staying with the NBA, kind of Grizzly related, you've been able to make stuff happen with your pen and with your keyboard over the years, Jeff. So I need you to make one more thing happen for me.
Yeah,
I've kind of started this campaign myself. I need you to help get behind me so it can get moved down the line, you know, moved up a little bit. Vince Carter announced his retirement yesterday. I don't want to see Vince go out like that. I need you to help me push it to the NBA where they make an allowance for Vince Carter to play in Orlando for whatever team he wants to play for.
Do we know that he wants to play?
That's what I was thinking about too, man. I'm not sure that Vince Carter wants to play again. Like, I don't even think he wants to.
Where does he rank in your favorite Grizzlies?
Not anywhere in any upper echelon. Like, I kind of thought the whole...
Okay, so you're saying this out of respect for his career.
Yeah, just out of respect for his total career.
And the person that he was, but not because he was one of your all-time favorite Grizzlies, right?
Okay. It had nothing really to do with the Grizzlies. But just the fact that he came through here, and he was good. He was a good locker room guy. Like, he wasn't a negative.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah.
He was a great locker room guy. He was a great presence. Hell, that year that he was injured, he was a good TV guy. Remember, mm-hmm. he used to do the TV stuff with Pete?
Right, I totally forgot about that. Yep, he was.
Yeah. No, Vince Carter is – I don't know that I could do what Vince Carter did, go from being a superstar to a good team guy role player. It's impressive what he did. And, sure, like, why wouldn't you want Vince Carter on the Lakers, right? They got an opening.
Yeah, I love to see him play good. Not even if he doesn't play, I just think he should have a chance to go out and wave goodbye to the fans at home the right way. You know what I mean? And I just, you know.
Do you have any concern as to whether there will be an NBA champion this year?
None. I think they're 100% going to have a season. 100%.
And do you think other players are going to opt out other than the ones we know of?
I think the average per team might be one. So I think there'll be a total of 30 guys, period. So not saying that one guy per team is not going to play, but I think at the most it'll be 30 guys that don't participate.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be. Whether someone has to sit out with COVID, I can see that as a possibility. But the one, I guess, in all of this, the sport that I am most confident in, because they have the bubble, right? Mm-hmm. And because they have the bubble, because they don't have to play that long. They're not going to be interacting with the general community. I think the sport that I'm most confident in is the NBA. I'm reasonably confident about the NFL. And yesterday, obviously, Roger Goodell said, all systems are go. I still think there could be reality could come smack them in the face. Who knows what's going to happen? We see what's happening in Texas. You got NFL teams in Texas. So I'm reasonably confident about the NFL just because how sort of hell-bent on doing it they are, mm-hmm. And how they are effective at everything. But I'm pretty confident about the NBA, and I'm looking forward to it.
I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Give me a little foreshadowing. What's your gambling guy? In terms of he believes the Grizzlies will be the 8th seed. Is that it?
Yeah, pretty much. But see, here's the thing, Jeff. I've already told you I plan on taking over your show. I've got your spot. I've even got my own gambling guy. You got Jeffrey Wright who gives you all the gambling numbers. I got my own gambling guy, man.
All right, good. I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
But
you got Jason Smith coming up next.
Yeah, Jason Smith's coming up next. Yeah. Oh, yeah, just one more thing for you too, Jeff. Like, I talked about how you've been able to make things happen with your pen and with your keyboard over the years. Your show has been the Corona hotline over the past 3 months. Uh-huh. Shout out to you for getting the mask bill passed by Mayor Strickland yesterday.
Are you a reliable master, Anthony?
Well, here's the thing, man. Like I talk about it all the time. I work for DoorDash part time, and I do this a lot. Doing what we do, we have a lot of free time. So in my free time, I go out and I get extra money because I don't know when my last dollar is gonna come. So I stack my money.
Right.
So I have to wear a mask. Like, I look like a weirdo delivering people's food with no mask on. So my whole thing with the mask is I'm down for whatever makes the people I interact with feel comfortable. Like, I'm not going to be, whether I think it works for me or I think I might get sick or I'm worried about you. I just want all parties involved to feel comfortable, man. Like, whatever makes you enjoy your meal and give me a tip and give me a 5-star review, I mean, that's what I'm down for.
What's the typical tip on a DoorDash?
Anywhere from three to $5. But in Memphis, you'll get zero tip a lot. But when you get an order,
zero tip. What do you get paid then? Like, on an order, if you get no tip, what are you getting paid for? You get a percentage, or what do you get?
Well, the way the DoorDash pays, like, they pay you like per they pay you an amount of money based on how long they think the food will take to get ready. Your total trip, how far you're going, and then they add the tip to it too. So your order is gonna be a combination of all three. And when you see the miles, because when you get the order comes up, it tells you the miles.
I see.
So when you see the order, you can tell if it's a tip on it or not, based on the amount. Like, okay, that's not enough, so they must then tip. So I'm not gonna take it.
You can either take it or not.
Yeah, you're a subcontractor, so I don't work for DoorDash. So if I don't want to take the order, I don't have to take it. I can just say no, I don't want to do
that. And the tip. On event, it's not the tip is Yeah, you see the tip before you decide.
You don't know what the tip is. You don't see the breakdown, but you can look at the amount and tell.
Right.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice tip.
You know how much you're going to get.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. You got to get out there with me one day, Jeff. Put our mask on and ride together.
Can you imagine Hawkins out there doing DoorDash?
But sure, speaking of DoorDash, that's when I went by O'Call. Remember what I did to O'Call?
Oh, there you go.
You did a DoorDash to O'Call?
I had a DoorDash delivery to O'Call, and that's when I did the bit that everyone laughed about on Twitter when I took a picture at O'Call. It was like, I'm waiting for you at the door, Jeff. I was doing DoorDash, and I had a delivery to one of the ladies there.
Anthony, you're going to get a full week of not a full week, but another couple of these next week with Jeff. So we're going to have to.
Oh, yeah. But Jeff, man.
Well, thanks for doing it, man.
Oh, yeah, bro.
Yeah.
That was Jeff Calkins.
Thanks, Jeff.
That was Jeff.
Be safe. Yep.
That was Jeff Calkins, you guys, for the Daily Memphian, also of the Jeff Calkins Show. I'm sitting in his seat today. We're about to take a break. This is Anthony Sane from Sports Illustrated's All's Grizzlies. This is 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Sometimes I don't think people realize how unusual it is that I actually have the cell phone number of my banker in my phone. Do you? Out there? Do you right now? Do you have the cell phone of your banker in your phone? If you don't, you should be going to Triumph Bank. Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank. I did not believe it, I'll be honest, when I first learned about Triumph Bank. Banks are banks are banks. No, banks are not banks are not banks. Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank. It was started here in Memphis in 2006 by a group that understood that Memphis needed local banks. It has grown into a regional powerhouse with all the might and technology you need, but they still have that personal touch. Triumph Bank is my bank. Triumph Bank should be your bank. Triumph Bank is invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
If you're a manufacturing professional or looking for a career in manufacturing and want to work for a great company with great benefits and a competitive wage in Memphis, apply today online at BryceCorp.com. That's BryceCorp.com. Bryce Corporation is accepting applications for second shift machine operators and assistants. Your benefits include, but are not limited to, medical, dental, vision, and retirement. Don't wait. Apply now at BryceCorp.com. That's BryceCorp.com.
Here's some good news. Buster's Liquors and Wines is open at Poplar and Highland. Not just open for curbside pickup, but open for walk-in business. Go to Buster'sLiquors.com for store info, a protocol, hours, and days of operation and delivery service info, too. That place is clean as a whistle. Come on in and take a stroll. Experience why Buster's boasts the largest selection of fine beer. Beers, wines, bourbons, great spirits from Tennessee, and the friendliest, most knowledgeable staff. Open for walk-in business now. Buster's Liquors and Wines.
It's a summer of 1,000 engagements at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Free wedding band with every bridal purchase of $1,499 or more. Bigger, brighter diamonds, free financing, Robert Irwin Jewelers, or rijewelers.com.
You've been camping in your backyard, cycling in your living room. You've been enjoying rain showers in your bathroom, campfires on your TV screen. You've been counting stars and birds from your window and holding family cookouts in the kitchen. Now, get ready to go. Go on a real vacation. Take the wheel at your nearest RV dealer or at GoRV.com.
It all starts with just one thing. Make your pet more green. Buy organic pet food, seek out kitty litter made with natural materials, and clean up after your pet using certified green products. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Hey, so are you the type of guy that wants to look put together, but doesn't want to spend hours at the mall finding new clothes? So you can look great at the office, on the road, or even just on the weekend with friends and family? I hear you. This is why there's Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands that work for you, and even let them know what types of styles you prefer. Stitch Fix is convenient. You get great clothes delivered right to you, so you can try new styles on in the comfort of your own home and make a decision without any pressure. And Stitch Fix is on your terms and priced to match your budget. There's no subscription required ever. Keep what you want and send back anything you don't. So, isn't it time you got it all together? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for men, women, and kids. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
She serves too. Women make up about 16% of the American Armed Forces, and they've got a story to tell. From what it's like to wear the nation's military uniform and break glass ceilings while in the military, to transitioning to civilian life when their tour of duty is complete. Stay connected to the unique perspective of female veterans at ConnectingVets.com.
Whether you were a soldier, sailor, airman, or Marine,
ConnectingVets.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Anthony Sane from SI's All Grizz.
Jason Smith is the host of the Jason and John Show. His show is every day from 11 to 2 p.m. here on 92.9 ESPN. And he joins us now. Jason, what's going on, man?
What's happening, brother?
Man, I'm just trying to make it funny, take it, brother.
Yes, sir. You're getting it done.
Well, it's good to have you on, man. Good to see you, man. Good to see that you're still alive, brother. We were forced to wear a mask. I think that's – when did that start? I know it got passed by Mayor Strickland yesterday. When does that actually start? When is that going to play?
It should start immediately.
Okay.
If it has not started already, it should start immediately, and it's part of the reason why we are where we are is because we got so out of whack. So he signed it. As far as I know, that thing goes into effect now. It has for me. My wife would put down the mandate here over where we're living at. She signs all the mandates here, and she'd signed it long ago for us.
Well, I think
I've been back on my mask and. Here strong for the last week or so.
To your point, man, I think that the whole mask campaign is really ran by women. I think that it's men.
Whoa.
No, listen what I'm saying. It's men.
Uh-oh. Like Trump would say.
If we had our choice, we'd probably be loose as hell out here. But our wives, girlfriends, because my situation, same exact situation. My girlfriend, her daughter has things that compromise her immune system, and I was like, dude, people like, well, why are you doing this? Hey, man, I'm doing what I got to do, man. You know what I mean? So to your point, I get it because between Gabe's mom, when it comes to Gabe, and with my girlfriend on the other end, yeah, man, the mask go on, brother.
It has to and absolutely has to for me because I was a fool and, smoked for so many years, and you got to worry about your respiratory system and all that stuff. So mine was self-inflicted, obviously, and foolishly, but John was asking me, if they get a vaccine, are you getting it? And I'm one of those guys who didn't do, openly admits I didn't do flu vaccine every year. Mm-hmm. And maybe that was foolish of me. But with this thing and the way it attacks, pre-existing conditions, a lot of those hereditary, obviously, diabetes, hypertension, high blood pressure for us, all those things, man. And pre-existing conditions particularly, with your respiratory system. I think that's why Avery Bradley, that's his child. It was the respiratory illnesses. And you've got to seriously consider those factors, man, and just know how much wearing a mask and just not prevent all of it, but certainly put a big dent in it. And help us, I guess, try to regain some kind of control of this thing because it feels like in so many states it's gotten out of control again.
Yeah, and it's not really that big of a deal because it's kind of became like a necessity. It's just something like, you grab your keys, you grab your phone,
your
wallet.
The more comfortable you get.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I've found.
I just always
have
it around my neck. It's always around my neck. And if I'm out somewhere, I've got it on already. And if I'm somewhere where I feel uncomfortable, I just raise it up. You know what I mean? Like if I go in a crowd. Because I talked about this with Jeff. I do DoorDash delivery, so I'm in restaurants all the time. And some people get it, some people don't. I've had people just walk right up on me. And just, I'm like, okay, here comes the mask. It's up. Well, I already have it on. Because everyone knows it's hard to breathe and you get hot or whatever, but you're just doing what you got to do. But like I said, I just wear it like an accessory. And then, like, I'm on Etsy, man, because I got my Black Panther mask on today. I got the Grizzly one yesterday. I had a Bane one that was really dope, and I lost it. My girlfriend got me that one. I lost it. It was real dope. She kind of looked at me side-eyes when I lost that bad boy, too.
I do have a Grizzlies one. Sane brought it into the studio for you and Jason and John show. So you guys have masks,
Jason.
Yeah,
you masked up, man.
Yeah, the Grizzlies brought some by, too.
No, my kids got a couple superhero ones, and my wife's got me a Chicago Bears one coming. But
that's dope.
I tell you what. I mean, there wasn't much social distancing going on in these protests, but a lot of folks had masks on. Mm-hmm. And if you read, and there's this, you know, new thing out of New York that says there wasn't this uptick or spike because of the protests, it just goes to show you how much masks clearly do help and can help.
Right.
Just as long as you wear them. Those first few times, man, yeah, it sucks. It's uncomfortable, and you tell yourself, now, you know what, I might not need this. But after, the more you wear it, like I said, the more comfortable you get. And right now, clearly, everybody believes, at least from most of our leaders to our doctors, that we should have them on. So it's not even up for debate as far as I'm concerned, and particularly in our household. Like I said, Faith put that foot down a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. Same here with mine. And like you said about the with the protests or whatever, I was never worried about the protests because anything you know about black people, we gonna protect ourselves at all costs. Like, we're going to do our well-done steak. We're going to get our chicken fried hard. So you knew the mask. You knew we going to have that mask on.
Not you. It won't be well done in your house.
No, not for me and my house, but nor the chicken fried hard. But I have, you know, we are going to have a mask.
Jason
on.
Has no bacteria on that meat.
Right.
It's gone.
We've been running from bacteria for a long time. Like, this whole virus thing ain't do us. But yeah.
I'm so tired of y'all acting like meat snobs around me. I got no idea what, you know, how to get a steak cooked in a proper steakhouse. This is ridiculous.
Well, speaking of protection from COVID-19, Jason, we're going to stay in your wheelhouse. You're a married man, so this doesn't apply to you at all. Some of it could, but I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a website called avert.org that has a coronavirus checklist that includes sexual activity, Jason, things that you should avoid, how you should have sex during a COVID-19 era. Would you mind if I go down this list with you, Jason?
Is this for married folks?
It's just a generic sex list.
Oh, okay.
You know, Jason, I know you're a married man. I'm a single man. I have a girlfriend, but I'm not married. So we'll run through this list together, and we can just see where we are on these, okay?
I will try to be as open and honest as possible. If it gets too freaky, I may abstain. I may stay out of it.
All right, the list says, number one, avoid kissing or exchanging saliva with anyone outside of your household. I think you're good on that one.
Oh, come on. Right. Come on. That,
right.
I mean, you're getting off.
You're a man of God.
You shouldn't even go to number two if you can't answer that one.
All right, avoid sexual activities which include licking around the anus. Where are you at on that one, Jason?
Bruh. Not even close, brother. And I suspect that's very good advice. I'll tell you what, this has started off freaky, brother. So, you made it sound like this was going to be a skip down the lane, brother. You're already starting off freaky.
He didn't give these same questions to Calkins, by the way.
Just for
the record.
But so here's the thing, man. If you're caught up on number two, I'm not making provisions for you anyway, but if you get corona, that's on you, man. If that's what you want to do, we're not making no provisions for you, man.
Man, what is number three?
Yeah,
number three says use.
How much, thank you.
Use condoms or dental dams to reduce contact with saliva or poo. So you're married, so you don't really have to worry about that. Plus, you don't do number two, so you're good. Mm. Take a shower and wash your hands and body thoroughly with soap and water, both before and after sex. Another black people thing. We do that.
Wash your tail. Wash your tail. Yeah, that should be very high on the list.
Good All right. advice.
If you use sex toys, wash these thoroughly with soap and water and do not share them.
I'll tell you what. That's you know, not really happening right now. And we don't need them right now.
All
right. Don't
Lord
need
God.
Them right now.
Okay.
But I'm not. You know, y'all do what you got to do. You don't necessarily need them to get it done. That's right. Whatever you got to do, though.
Yeah. Consider sexual arousal.
Just be safe.
Yeah. Consider sexual arousal techniques that don't involve physical contact, like talking.
Well, of course. Now,
yeah.
I'm not sure how many of us men can still be, you know, are still capable of that once you get into your 40s. You know, that's what I'm saying, you know. But I suppose talking, especially when you're younger, or you're just meeting that girl for the first, you know, that's a big part of it. But, again, I think that starts to phase out as you get older. The only talking that you do is, you know, are you ready? You know, kind of
right.
like, you know, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Last two bullet points, Jason, it says mutual masturbation while physical distancing.
Oh.
Unnecessary. I just find that my first reaction to that would be unnecessary. You know.
All right, I'm going to say no comment on that one.
Remember, we got that FCC license now here.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right.
Heads up.
This is just Yeah. Where did you get this?
Listen, I know you've been quarantined and cooped up for a while, bro. But
was X what? What was the website? X yeah. What? Yeah. How many X's?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You might have had an extra X there.
Right. Okay. All right, last one, Jason. I know this doesn't apply to you at all. It says limit your physical interactions by reducing the number of sex partners you have overall and or at the same time. So I know you're good on that one. So,
oh, man, come on.
Yeah, just trying to keep you alive, brother. Just trying to keep you alive, right. Jason. That's all that
very,
was.
Very happy. Very happily married and have been now for going on 11 years. Next month will be 11 years. We're gonna celebrate as much as you can during the COVID. You know, you can't get out like you used to. Can't go out and party like you used to. But I'm a lucky man. She's made me that for a long time. So, yes, I'm being safe, same with just that one partner, that glorious partner.
Man, that's good, yes. Brother. I'm headed your way, man. Like, this goes. That's
come
what's
on.
What I'm
come
do.
On over to this boat. Everybody, Jeffrey Wright's doing it this weekend. Everybody's jumping on board. Everybody that sits in one of those chairs saying, eventually, you're going to have to go ahead and tie the knot. That's part of it.
Yeah. Well, I was on the boat before, and, you know, I went overboard, but I'm ready to get back in it, man. So, yeah, sounds
come
good.
Come on back.
All right. And speaking of being in the boat, it's a great tie-in, great transition. Pat on the back for myself for this transition here. Disney World put out an announcement this morning that one of the most famous, one of the most known rides, Splash Mountain, they're canceling Splash Mountain, Jason, while they rebuild it and redesign it so it won't be so offensive to us African-Americans. Jason, have you heard about this?
John Martin brought this to my attention yesterday on the show, and I have to tell you, it was the first I'd heard of it from him. Yesterday. And so, yes, he did bring it to my attention to get my reaction. My reaction was, thank goodness. Thank goodness. I mean, again, I hadn't been to Splash Mountain since I was 6 years old. Mm-hmm. So I can barely remember what it's like. But I told him yesterday, we're going to rename it, you know, something with Wakanda Mountain in that thing or something like that. Yeah. I thought it might be appropriate is to take that thing over. For the next few years, at least.
Well, they're talking about doing it based on, was it Frozen, I think? No, The Princess and the Frog. Princess and the Frog.
The Black Princess and the Frog.
The Princess and the Frog,
which I've seen because of CJ.
Right. And because we...
Which I'm fine with.
We went to Disney World this last summer. I went with Gabe. And Gabe, that was one of the last rides we rode. And it's a great ride. Like, Splash Mountain is great. But it's extremely offensive because you're literally riding through a plantation. There's cotton everywhere and everything. So
I didn't remember that when I was six. I'm
nobody
what
would.
What is all this? White flowers? Like, what is this?
Right, you're literally riding through a plantation. So, it's been time for that to be gone. And we're talking to Jason Smith from the Jason and John Show, weekdays from 11 to 2. Jason, I'm going to tell you something that I did this week, man, for the first time. You're an African-American like myself, and I was proud on June the 19th, Jason, I celebrated my first Juneteenth celebration. And I'm a little upset, though, bro, because I've been living for 40 years. I'd heard of Juneteenth, but I didn't know that it was a holiday that we could really get wit and get crunk and get drunk and all that and go to work late the next day. I didn't know it was one of those type of holidays, bro. And I feel like I've been robbed of this from my whole life.
Well, now you're going to know about that because now, people, I think New York State has made it a paid holiday.
Right.
You know, it's become more than people, as people have sort of been forced to listen and forced to open their eyes, it's become, you know, what's important to black folks has become more important to white folks. And we said that's a good thing. And so you're going to, you know, since it'll become more mainstream, saying a lot more of us are going to know. I'm like you. I was in my, you know, 20s. Over at the Commercial Appeal, mm-hmm. and was asked to go cover the Juneteenth celebration. So as an intern, a news intern over at the CA, and so I had to bone up on it. I had heard of Juneteenth, but didn't know about the festival that was held in Memphis every year on the 19th. Didn't know about the history involved with it. And so, and I told Calkins this whether it was last week or the week before. But you and I both know this, like. That wasn't in my history book at Roselle or at Snowden or at White Station, you know, Juneteenth, that part. The Emancipation Proclamation was, and that's the part that, right, that's in our history books the way they're written now, is okay, that's the end of it. You know, give the credit to Abraham Lincoln. We're moving on to the next part of history. The Juneteenth wasn't in those books, and it wasn't mainstream. And so to the point saying where you learned about it here recently, just about how the pride that's taken literally and very, very seriously all over the country. You saw in Tulsa, you know, they went on and had a rally, you know, a Juneteenth rally, even with what's going on, you know, and particularly with, you know, Trump being in town that weekend. But they, that pride they felt, even with what we're going through with as a pandemic, they had people in Tulsa saying, hey, we want to do it. And of course, Tulsa had, a city that's still racially charged because of the race riots back years and years and decades ago. But that said, it's an incredible pride thing saying, and yeah, a lot of us didn't know about it, man, because it wasn't a mainstream deal that was taught to us coming up, to your point.
And I got a good friend. His name is Michael Butler Jr. He's a videographer, photographer, one of the best in the city.
Yeah.
And we would always joke about how there wasn't really a black people holiday for us to do stuff that everyone else could do. Like, we didn't have a St. Patrick's Day where we could just get drunk all day and just celebrate.
Wild out.
Or a Cinco de Mayo. Like, those, we don't have those. And we even joked about Juneteenth. It was like, nah, man, we don't want to do Juneteenth because that's something where, like, you got to go learn stuff and be woke and burn candles and talk about this, that, and the other, whatever. Learn. We ain't trying to learn nothing. I'm trying to get drunk. I want to call in late the next day. I want to sleep in. And I found out, man, like, that's what I could have been. I could have been participating in Juneteenth all this time, man. I just feel robbed. I feel robbed, Jason.
But don't. But again, you don't want to, at this point in your life, saying you don't want to, you have missed out a little bit. When you're a little bit younger, you could have gone out and partied and gone crazy on it, gotten the extra drunk on it now, just to observe. Have yourself a nice little time, because again, I think we're going to be at a point here pretty soon where nationally it might be a deal where we're all getting off and all getting paid on that day. So go easy, because I don't think you can go as fast as you used to could, saying I don't think the body can still pull up. But absolutely, man, absolutely use it as your day. We got a day now. It's Juneteenth now. Everybody's recognizing. Yeah, it's been around for a while though, but so many folks just now getting off.
And speaking of that, something else has been going on as a result of Juneteenth is everyone knows that you shoot fireworks on 4th of July, but
what is up with all the fireworks? they're everywhere.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about now. Jason, have you noticed the fireworks every day? Because Juneteenth is on June the 19th. In my neighborhood, they kicked off on June the 18th, and they've been going strong for 8 days. And I've loved every minute of it. I'm not going to lie. Like, it initially scares you or shocks you when you first hear them, but I have a smile on my face knowing that people are still celebrating Black awareness, and I'm down for it. So are you hearing fireworks where you live as well?
Oh, I mean, they're everywhere. And my wife's tired of them. I'm not gonna lie to you. And it gets to a point where I just tune them out. We've lived, growing up in Memphis, I've lived all over the city, from midtowns now out east, everywhere except for pretty much downtown in terms of living. And I hadn't lived in Germantown or out that far east, but it's always been, whether it was around Juneteenth or whether it was around the 4th of July, as we built up to it, even before, long after, at least a week or two after it, bro, fireworks, folks bucking, shooting their guns, that's Memphis, man. It's just something we've done for a long time, something I've used to. So almost to a point where if it's getting to a certain time, my biological clock in me, till my body gets myself and my family inside again, because yes, a lot of those are going to be fireworks, but a lot of it, I'm just going to be real with you, are shots, and I'm not going to be on the end of those when they come down. So like my biological clock, we move inside, man. And it's just something, and it's not just Memphis. Look, it happens all over the country. And then look, it ain't just a predominantly African-American city where this happens, man. I've heard this happens off in the country. Folks go out and shoot their shotguns around this time of year. Mm-hmm. And I'm used to it, saying, what I do is get in the house, brother. That's what I do. I get in the house.
Well, brother, I'm down for it. I look at it. I was talking to Mike again, Michael Butler Jr., about this again. And we basically, I said, Mike, I kind of look at it almost like a protest, like in a sense of, in protest, a lot of people are going to be inconvenienced during a protest. People who are down for the cause and aren't down for the cause. And with a lot of black people are shooting fireworks every night since before Juneteenth, and they're doing it. I don't know how long it's going to stay up, but it's been, the tinks ran out on the 19th. We're in the 20s now, but I'm down for it. Like, it's just, I just love it, man. Like I said, it's a real inconvenience because it's waking you out of your sleep. I had Gabe in my house last night. I don't know if it woke him up or not. But it's wild. I'm not going to act like it's not. But I don't know when it's going to end. But I'm not really wishing it ends anytime soon, to be honest with you.
Well, I think it's all just part of trying to get folks' attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and awareness up. That it all goes to the same thing. However you're doing it, whether that's being out in the streets and protesting, whether it's going to the Civil Rights Museum and learning, right? Whether it's getting in your word, whether it's all of that is – is part of this, is trying to draw attention and get folks to listen, because that's where we're at. We realize that. So, part of that, like we've done it for a while, man, is popping off those fireworks. And that's a Memphis thing we've done for a while. We'll continue to do, and it ain't gonna stop anytime soon, Shane, because the fourth coming up. We'll go for a few more weeks. We'll tie them together.
Keep them going.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I'm here for it, man. Well, speaking of keeping things going, there's been a lot of talk as far as the Grizzlies and their lease agreement. I talked to Joe Mullinax, who also comes on this show as well as the Gary Perry show on this station. He interviewed me for his podcast, and we talked about that whole subject. And something that I brought up that I think that is in Memphis' favor is me and you are both parents of boys who are the exact same age. They're friends. Gabe is not as far along as being a Grizzlies fan as CJ is, but he has that recognition. He knows who Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson are. Jaren Jackson Jr. is one of his favorite players, but Gabe doesn't even watch games. It's just that's how he's got ingrained into it. And there was a Vince Carter commercial, that Vince Carter video that came on NBA TV, and Ja and Jaren went on there, and Gabe was like, "Dad, that's Ja and Jaren," and he like perked up like we were in the barbershop or whatever.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to say is, there were Gabe and CJs 20 years ago when the Grizzlies first got here who are now season ticket holders and who grew up as Grizzlies fans, where the Grizzlies were here their entire life. And I think that's something that, as opposed to 20 years when they got here, that's a different dynamic that I think helps as far as the passion and the desire to want to keep the team here and for fans to go out and do what they need to do. The fact that those kids have became ticket-buying adults, I think that's something right. Over time that the whole stigma – that Jeff talked about in his article of people being negative and assuming the team's going to leave soon. I think those type of situations are going to keep the team here. What do you think needs to happen for the city to, kind of take it to the next level as far as support of the Grizzlies?
Well, I think it's different now. It's your team. You know, most of the best history of this team and this franchise has been made here now. When you first get them here, it takes a while to build those bonds. And like you've said, kids that have, grown up and now become in a place where they're leading households and can buy season tickets, that's now, those folks got their memories are you can barely remember when Memphis didn't have a team. Like, their memories are their memories of growing up, their memories of this team winning playoff games. So that's what you have now, is this connection. And that's to that point, saying that's why it's worth saving. So whether you're going into, whether it's a surplus, hopefully, like Hawkins was reporting, that's been generated, going to getting that done to sort of meet the shortfalls, or whether it's simply Memphians stepping up. Like, that's the difference now, is you're not asking them, hey, support something that we think can work in this city. It's got all the potential in the world, and yes, most other cities look at us and say, well, you can't get it done there. That city's so poverty-stricken, you're not going to be able to support a team. What do you mean, small market team? Well, Memphis has shown not only can it support it when they're fully – I mean, when the Grizzlies have got it rocking, they can be the best atmosphere in the NBA, and folks have said as much, and that's what they were saying about you when it was the grit and grind era. And so now it's worth it. It's worth preserving, to your point, for Gabe. For my kid, it's the same thing. It's trying to keep that tradition going. They, I'm sure, right now couldn't imagine a city without them, and that's the way you want to keep it going. And so because of that, people will be working. Would you like to have, if it ever came to it, a local ownership group, step up and have the team, to the thought that, well, maybe those guys, right, for the benefit of, well, they wouldn't consider moving it. Because with Robert Parrish, that's always going to be a thing. He's right. Not from here. But I think Robert Parrish has shown right now that he's worth trusting. I mean, with what he's invested, that kind of thing. Now, 2029, who knows what happens. But I'm with Jeff that right now nobody should panic. And then 2029, we'll see. We'll see if by that time Seattle's got a team. You make the point, somebody, Vegas, somebody, there'll always be a suitor for an NBA team based upon what they'll be worth. And we realize in many more cities, right, the Grizz are going to be worth a ton more than they would be here. But there's a connection now in Memphis, and you feel like whether it's dipping in the pockets, to go a little bit backward if you've got to, it's worth saving now for the next generation of fans that, like I said, a CJ, a Gabe, those guys those guys are coming up with it, and I'm sure couldn't imagine it gone. And so, you want to keep it around for them. And hopefully, it'll be beyond 2029. We'll be talking about this for more than just 30 years, and it'll be, But again, as a small market team, you're always going to have an eye on you and somebody wanting to pick you off. And again, with an owner who's not from here, there'll always be that, hey, what would this look like somewhere else? Right. Always in the back of your mind.
Well, Jason, we appreciate you coming in, bro. I know you got to get ready for your own show in a little bit. Just wanted to say this to you as I let you go. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you this before I let you go, man. Last time we talked, you really got on me because I was letting Gabe play Grand Theft Auto 5. I weaned him off of it, but it's been a hard progress. It's like a smoker, man. The kid is on. I had to. The way I done it, I let him watch Grand Theft Auto videos on YouTube, and I let him. He plays a lot of WWE 2K, so he's going through a process withdrawals from Grand Theft Auto 5. But you know, we're getting there, man. It's a process.
He's like Ray Charles on that thing coming off. He's cold and he's hot, trying to wean himself off of that stuff. You're doing a good thing, Shane. You're doing a good thing, brother.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was Jason Smith from the Jason and John Show. You'll hear him here at 11 o'clock. Jason, thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Y'all take care, man.
All right, we're about to go to a break. When we come back, we'll have Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. This is Anthony Sane of Sports Illustrated's All Grizzlies. This is 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say, play 92.9 ESPN.
I got good news and bad news. The bad news is it's looking more and more like we are going to be doing home offices, virtual learning, all of that stuff for a good deal longer. That's the bad news. The good news, you can get yourself to Cooper Systems and make sure you have the right equipment to be doing all that. Whether it's you working from your home office or whether it's you're sending your kid off to college or honestly off to his room to be in college or in high school because it's going to be all virtual learning, Cooper is there for you. The phone number is 360-9679, 360-9679. And whether you need help setting up your home office or whether you need a new laptop for your kid or whatever you need, a new printer so you can print out stuff at home, whatever it is, Cooper will be there for you. The phone number again, 360-9679, 360-9679. Just give them a call. They can help you the way they have helped me. Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park.
Hey, guy trying to shingle his own roof.
Yeah.
Don't you have a degree in business?
Why, yes, I do.
Why are you trying to remodel your own roof?
I figured I could save some money.
Do you really know what you're doing?
I watched some videos.
Are you warranting your own work?
Can I do that?
Looks like you need to replace some wood as well.
It's okay.
Exactly. Call Bennett Roofing. With over 20 years' experience, they make sure your roofing work is done right. Call 901-359-9708 or BennettRoofingMemphis.com.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company, which has reopened at 50% capacity. They've instituted sanitation procedures greater than what the CDC and health department require, including a three-step approach to sanitizing tables so you can get back inside right now. So go order online at MemphisBBQCO.com.
You're up for all your favorite teams and sports with Radio.com. The biggest sports stations in America talk about the NFL, MLB, NHL, and NBA. Get updates on when games will start and how your team stacks up. Find Jim Rome, Tiki and Tierney, and more of the top personalities in sports on CBS Sports Radio. And you'll love Radio.com sports originals like Mike's On with Francesa, Swings and Misses, and You Better You Bet with the best bets on the biggest matchups every weekday. Gear up with all the shows and podcasts on Radio.com or the Radio.com app.
Augers, trenchers, blades, brooms, shredders, mulchers, hammers, compactors, planers, rollers, rakes. That's just a sample of the more than 100 attachments John Deere offers for skid steer and compact track loaders. The added versatility provided will help you win more jobs. And with the universal self-cleaning QuickTatch system, you can switch from one type of attachment to another in no time flat. Your John Deere dealer can help you choose the right attachments to help you run your world. Visit johndeere.com/compactattachments to learn more.
Hey, Jason Smith here, and listen, AutoZone is one of the big reasons I've been able to keep my 2006 Mazda on the road so long. With more than 5,700 locations, they've helped me with everything from battery changes to replacing my brake pads. And with their same-day pickup, you can order online and get what you need in store or curbside. Have a job that can wait? AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35 if you order by 10 p.m. So you can get what you need when you need it. Visit AutoZone.com today to get started. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Riverset is a small batch rye whiskey crafted in Memphis from the spirit of rock and roll. At 93 proof, every sip tells a story. Join us in our rye rebellion and pour a glass of Riverset rye. Cheers, y'all.
Go against the current with Riverset rye. Please drink responsibly.
Preparing young men for tomorrow's challenges goes beyond the typical classroom. Whether on campus or online, learning never stops at Christian Brothers High School.
One of the hallmarks of Christian Brothers education is relationships. We were able not just to provide content, but to continue to establish and promote those relationships. We could see our students every day. We could listen to them and talk to them, and so that was huge.
Discover today what the Brotherhood can do for you. Schedule a tour and learn more at cbhs.org.
Bugs bugging you? Call Allied Termite and Pest for a free inspection today, 754-0454. Stop a pest problem in its tracks and ask about the Allied Guarantee. Prompt, reliable. Allied Termite and Pest. Call them today, 754-0454.